Want to hear on John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I can't add anything to the reading that we had the other day. I don't think so. But there is here a great fact. And a lot of people in this audience like facts. There's still something you really hold on to. In the beginning was the Word. That's a great fact. Without doubt, you see. And the Word was with God. A great fellowship. Isn't that marvelous? The fellowship of the Father and the Son. And then we have a great promise. And the Word was God. Absolutely, the Lord Jesus Christ is God, as we have in our Bible reading. Three important considerations. A great fact, a great fellowship, a great fullness. And you know, in a very practical way, these things apply to us. Now, you may be ignorant of these things, but they do apply to us. A great fact, a great fellowship, and a great fullness. And I'll just start out by saying our beginning was in Christ. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That was my beginning. Is it your beginning, you see? If you don't know that, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, that's when your beginning started. You were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's a marvelous truth we are there in Ephesians 1:4, isn't it? I'm glad that my beginning was then in Christ. If we turn to Colossians chapter, not Colossians, I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 2. We'll read these words. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God hath from the beginning chosen. Now this word chosen is the same word as election, you see. He chose us in eternity past. He elected us in eternity past. Now calling has to do with time. Now let's don't confuse those two words either. I think it's very important to see that. That our election, our being chosen in Christ, was before the foundation of the world. But the calling comes in time. That's what we have here, you see. If we go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. This is at his coming for us, you see. This salvation here, our salvation will be complete. We will be called up to see the Lord in the air, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we would live together with him. Wake, that is, from the time we're converted until the time we go to be with the Lord, either through the article of death or until we are caught up with him, you see, that we might be together with him. So it's really marvelous, isn't it, that God has chosen us. And in our hymn book, and I hope you appreciate this hymn book, I don't like going into a meeting hall and we have a variety of hymn books. Are we going to sing out the blue one or the red one? You know, let's sing out the little flock. That's the one we need to sing out of. The truth is contained here. Very important thing. I recall one time we were in a place and had a Sunday school. And this had this little course. A little course about something my God can do anything. When I spoke, I said, there are three things my God can't do. The most important thing is, he cannot remember my sins. They are removed as far as the east is from west. So there are three things that God cannot do. He cannot remember my sins. He cannot deny himself. You see, these are things that we should take into consideration. So, number 426, I believe. Says, 'Tis not that I did choose thee, for Lord, that could not be. This heart would still refuse thee, but thou hast chosen me. Have you ever heard that hymn sung in a meeting hall? I never have. I've been in fellowship for 30 years. Why can't we sing that hymn? Because you're not in a good gain of, you know, of election. That God chose you. That's the problem we have, you see. We can talk about doctrines, but do we really know God's Son in the fullness that we have? Well, these are things that should cheer our heart. And on the Lord's Day, we sung 415, hymn number 415. Wasn't it marvelous there at the breaking of bread? Father, spring a source of blessing. Grateful praise to thee we bring. Objects of thy sovereign favor. Gladly of thy love we sing. Verse 2, thine eternal gracious purpose. Now to us is Christ is shown. Purpose fraught with richest blessings for the sons thou hast foreknown. Do you appreciate those words? Well, you can't appreciate those words unless you appreciate God's sovereignty. That's right, and saving our souls. Brought to know thy well-beloved, drawn to him in boundless grace. Isn't that marvelous? I read those words, it cheers my heart. That's right. These are words that really build you up in your most holy faith. These are things that really give us cause of praise. Not the reciting of doctrine. That's right, we can recite doctrine quite easily. But that's not praising God, is it? That's just telling what God has done in a sense, you see. Talking about God. We want affection to spring from the heart, to rise up to the Father. How marvelous that would be. Well, that's how the hymn writer would state it. He states it far better than I can state it, you see. That's why I turned to the little flock hymn book. When I came over here, I had to pack my bags. I had to unpack them, too, because I had too much, you know, too much left to bring. In fact, I shipped three boxes over. I don't know how come. You know what I mean? I'm supposed to be a pilgrim and a stranger, you know. But anyhow, I had to have my Bible. That's all there is to it. And I know some of you up here can see the Bible. Well, I had this here in 1980. And it's not that I don't have another Bible. I have another Bible just like this Bible. The only drawback is this one falls just about where I want it to. You know what I mean? It opens up pretty easily. So, anyhow, what's the next book I had to bring? Well, I brought a strong concordance. That's right. I think that's the next book I had to have next to my Bible. Why? Because I don't have a very good, well, I have a good forgetter. All right? That's right. Of course, I don't know the scriptures, so I need to, you know, have a strong concordance. And then I need my little flock hymn book. Now, the rest of the books, well, I can use a Vine's concordance. I can have my Interlinear by Thomas Newberry, coded to Strong's concordance. A big help. That's right. So what contribution are we going to make to the household of faith? Is it going to be a hymn, just as we've sung? You see. Any helps along the way, like Thomas Newberry? You see. Or Vine's Dictionary? Strong's Concordance? What are we here for, King? Amen, right? What are we here for? To serve the living God. That's right. And to exalt Him. Well, let's go back to John 1 and verse 1. We read here that the Word was with God. A great fellowship. A great fellowship, you see. Well, you know, we've been brought in to a great fellowship. In 1 Corinthians 1 9, God is faithful, by whom we're called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's just turn that one verse in 1 Corinthians 1 9 and read it together, make sure we have it correct. 1 Corinthians 1 9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. It is God who has called you to share in the life of His Son. That's right. It is God who has called you. This is not assembly fellowship. If you say this is assembly fellowship, then you're sectarian. That's right. It's the fellowship, I believe, of the one body, the body of Christ. That's what we have here, you see. I think that would consummate what we've had today. You see, it is God who has called us to fellowship in the life of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's His deity, right? His Son, rather, is His deity. Jesus, the name given to Him here, you see, Christ, office. Lord, is He our sovereign? Is He our Lord? Let's make Him our Lord, you see. So, let me see hymn number 473 here that we have... some thoughts. Now, brother, here, remember when we sung this hymn, if you got a good memory, because I have out here Ajax, Ontario, to the side of this, where I sung it. Our Father, our God and Father, thou hast made in grace our fellowship with thee, and with thy Son, our Holy Lord, who bled for us upon the tree. This privilege is all divine. This way of love is wholly thine. So we see here this hymn writer, I believe, caught the essence of that in 1 Corinthians 1:9. Who made this fellowship? It is God who has called us into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. A very marvelous thing. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We have a lot to learn, brethren, when it comes to the sovereignty of God. And the law, He only condemns me. Well, in nature, God cannot be found in nature. You see where He's been, that what He's done, you see. That's right. But He's told out fully in the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How important that is, you see. He can reach us, you know, in His sovereign mercy. That's right. The very fact that He is sovereign, He can come out and bless us. If He wasn't sovereign, He couldn't do that, could He? You know, election rules out free will. That's right. There's no such thing as free will, except in the minds of men. Absolutely. No such thing as free will. My will was cast into Adam. That's all there is to it. Only two men, Adam and Christ. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ, one or the other. Only one man will do for God. Which one is He? Now, which man will do for you? Adam or Christ? Only Christ can satisfy. Well, and we read back in John's Gospel, because in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see. A great fullness. And that's what we have in Colossians. Ye are complete in Him. You don't need anything else. The day you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, as George Gosson used to say, you're ready for heaven right now. That's right. Well, why are we left down here? We're training for rain. Just like those military jets we heard today. They're training. Those troopers along the highway. They're training, you see. Not there for the fun of it. I hope not, you see. And we are training for rain with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, is there a hymn in here that perhaps, I can't hardly think of one that would be in regards to being complete. But there's one by Darby. And is it so? What's the number of that hymn?
247.
And is it so? We shall be like Thy Son. Is this the grace which He for us has won? Father of glory, thought beyond all thought, in glory to His own blessed likeness brought. So we know in the coming day, we're going to have the likeness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says down here in verse 3, yet it must be, Thy love had not its rest, were Thou redeemed not with Thee fully blessed. Fully. I remember Norman Anderson, we kept him in our home several times, and he said you can't add to fullness. You know, you can't add to completeness. Very important considerations, you see. So I'll just bring these a few thoughts before you concerning a great fact that we had our beginning before the world began. And I hope you'll accept that. I wasn't taught this, a lot of this by the brethren, all right? I had to be saved and tossed from pillar to post in the systems, and I was reading my Bible. And I told my wife, I said, notice this, what it says here. Isn't that marvelous, you see? You come on to these things. But then when I got with the brethren, then I learned more about it, you see. A big help, being in fellowship with the brethren. So I said this was true of everyone in this room, this great fact, this great fellowship, this great fullness. That's only partially true. It's only true to those of us who are saved. No matter where you are in the world, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, these things are true of you. And when the Lord comes, we're all going to be caught up in the air, you see. But if you're here without Christ, these things don't pertain to you. My friend, I have a past, a present, and a future. If you're without Christ, you only have a present and a future. A present life of sin and a future life of judgment. But ye who in times past indicates to me that my sins are forgiven. They are removed. So how important it is that we live for Christ. And I address the young people and the old people. Why? Because I think of Roy Walker, a man who never opened his mouth in a meeting. And yet he came to America at age 83. And he's a father to the little meeting there in Queen, Pennsylvania. A real help to a lot of the brethren. That's right. A mainstay in that little meeting. for 8 years. So you're never too young to begin serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You're never too old either, you see. So let us, in the days that remain this time he's coming, be here to serve him. And let me just read two little things here to take up no more of your time that I have written down here. Seeing that many preach Christ and so few live Christ, I will aim to live for him. And a certain man said, used to say of this fellow, he lives what I teach. Reminding us of another individual says, his preaching was good, his writing better, but his life was best of all. That's right. Are these things will be manifested into our life? We've had some good readings here. Some things have been brought out. I admit that I don't always enter into some of these things. I realize it might be a little two sides, you see. But I have to sort them out as the Spirit of God leads me, you see. And it's very important that, and that's one thing you have amongst brethren, like I say, this teaching, how important it is that we maintain that, you see, in a harmonious way among the saints. And I have been kill, and I happened to turn in the fly leaf of a book in a brother's home, and I read this. And I think this is good, and I'll leave this for the young people, because it might be more suited to young people. And this was written by a literary man to his brother. This man was evidently rather famous. And his brother had gone into full-time work for the Lord. And he says this of him, "You have entered a sacred office where the harvest is great and the laborers few. And you have left the field of ambition where the laborers are many and the harvest not carrying away." So which way are you serving? Are we going to live out the features of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, here? So I trust that these few thoughts will be of some benefit to us in the days to come as we seek to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.